This is March 29th, 1979. This is an interview conducted by Arden McAllister with Miss Edith B. Coleman at her home in Shelby Center, about 1.5 miles south of Medina.
All right, Miss Coleman, would you tell us, first of all, where you were born and when?
I was born August 26, 1895, east of Lindenville. I've lived here in this house since 1908 when my parents bought the farm. The land for this farm was bought by Harvey Bostwick in 1833 from the Holland Land Company. He sold it to Elijah Bent in 1835 for $4,200.
Now, can I interrupt just for a minute? Elijah Bent was quite a prominent person in this area, wasn't he?
I think so, because the building where the Liberty Bank now was the Bent Block, and the Bent's Opera House was, they call it Bent's Opera House, where we had our commencement exercises when I finished in 1912.
Oh, yes.
Elijah Bent willed a farm to his son, Don Bent. And then it was bought by my father, Walter Coleman, in 1908 from Judah Gates Green, who was a granddaughter of Don Bent. My father paid $6,438. And how he happened to come here, his father had worked as a hired man for Don Bent at the time of the Civil War. In fact, he enlisted from this place. And when my father was interested in buying a farm, his father suggested he come and look at this one, which my father did and bought it.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask you, too, you're mentioning this place where you live now and where your father came in 1908?
That's right.
Where is this place located?
In the town of Shelby on Route 63, just as you're entering Shelby Center from Medina, at the first street light.
Oh.
The house was built, we think it must have been between 1835 and 1850. We were told when we came here that by an old lady who lived in Shelby that it was here in 1850.
Interrupt you again. All right. All right.
When the land was bought from the Holland Land Company, 69 and 10 hundredths acres, my father sold off enough for 2,000 and bought an additional field. So right now, I think the farm has approximately 75 acres. The present barns were built in 1928 and 29, and they were paid for just before the bank closed, unfortunately.
Now that closing of the bank would have been due to the depression.
I think so.
Yes.
I've forgotten just what color. Mm-hmm. I used to walk to school in Medina. When we moved here, I was going to high school. So I walked to Medina's school in the fall and spring when the weather was good. Of course, my father would have been busy on the farm. In wintertime, he took us. My sister went to Medina to 7th and 8th grade, too. And in the winter, he would take the bobsleigh and the team of horses. We went down West Avenue and gathered up all the pupils along the line.
Yes.
And in those days, they had what we called pitch holes. And the bobsleigh would have a seat, just a board across. And of course, it would be cold, and it would, as you go down the pitch hole, the seat would slide forward, and they came up and went back. Of course, the ones riding on it had a lot of fun.
Yes. Would that be about 2 miles?
It's 2 miles from here to the Four Corners, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But from here down to the Forks, what we call the Forks, where West Avenue and South Main join, it's, I think, about a mile. And I used to walk it in 15 minutes.
Mm.
And then in 1923, I bought a Model T Ford. That was the first car we had in the family. My father never had one. I had the car. Ever since then, I've had a car. And before we had the car, We walk to church twice on Sunday and once during the week. It's half a mile from here to, up to the Shelby Baptist Church. That some people might be interested in. For years, we had a carol party on Christmas Eve. My two sisters started it. My sister Ethel taught the young people of the church in Sunday school. My sister Alice had charge or was advisor for the young people, the same group. So my sisters started by having them come on Christmas Eve. And they would meet here and then go out caroling around the village. And then come back and have supper and a program of, well, after the supper we'd have gifts, they'd bring a gift for exchange, and then at midnight have the devotional service. Well, that started out as the young people. Eventually, they brought their parents, and the whole families came, the church families. That one year we had over 50.
Is that so? That'd be right in the Shelby area.
Yeah, our Shelby church people.
Yes.
And it was started in 1934, and the last one was 1970, the year that my sister Ethel died, and I hadn't been able to do it alone. It was quite a task for even for two people. When we started, of course, we had the whole family to help, but they would bring food, and some of the time they brought their own dishes, which was rather confusing. But we enjoyed it.
Sure.
And when there were so many here, some young people ate their supper sitting on the steps. See, there's a stairway here, and also going from the second to the third floor is another stairway. So they sat on the steps, and we had card tables for the other people.
Yeah.
Of course, the service at midnight was a religious service, and then they went home shortly after. Great-great-grandmother, this was Hopeful Brooke, who married Alpheus Goodrich. One of their daughters was Lucina, who married Lyman Temple. They had a daughter, Clarissa, who married Samuel Coleman. Their son, Walter, was my father. Mm-hmm. And the descendants of Hopeful Brooke and Alpheus Goodrich have a family reunion each summer in August. And recently it's been held at Churchville Park every year. I've been to it for many years. There's a genealogy book of the Goodrich family. I don't have one, I'm sorry to say, but no. Can't get them anymore.
Yeah.
But I have seen them, and it has my name in it.
How do you spell that, Alpheus?
A-L-P-H-E-U-S.
Yes, all right.
And it's Goodridge, not R-I-C-H, it's R-I-D-G-E.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. The Smiths from Lindenville, the ones that had the pond there and so forth,
yes,
are descended of the same. That's Marion Smith and her sister, Mrs. Clarence Pratt. Oh, several times I've been the oldest one in attendance at the reunion. I can hardly believe it. Well,
yes.
Last year, Harold Higley was there, and he's older than I. Okay. I haven't mentioned the fact I had a brother who died in 1913. He was only 16 at the time. But that's a long time ago.
Yes.
In 1943, in March, my parents observed their golden wedding anniversary. And we had open house. It was on a Monday. And there were about 80 attended. I have the names in a scrapbook. I looked at the list the other day, and at least 50 of those people are gone out of the 80 that were here. But you see, that's 36 years ago. Me a little amusement. He'd leave notes for me. One time he left a note asking if I'd get some curtain material to put in front of some shelves. There were some open shelves in the corner of the room. So he suggested I do that so it'd look more respectful in the room. sign. He left a note. He said, if anyone comes, it'll be a load of coal.
Now, that Laurel Hill School was over in what they used to refer to as Laurel Hill.
Yes, Paddy Hill.
Or Paddy Hill, sometimes called.
And
now, was that on the Horn Road, or...
No, not on Horn Road. Is it Aaron?
Aaron Road. Uh-huh.
And there was a store up on Pleasant Street, and Celebrity just lived on that, at the corner of that in Aaron Road.
Oh, yes.
And Bernice Celebrity, that I taught there, is Mrs. Mott, and she works for Mr. Moriarty and the accountant.
Oh, yes.
I finished school in Rockport in 1914, and I started in Medina as a teacher that fall, doing substitute work and anything that they wanted me to do. And I continued teaching in Medina until 1962 when I retired. In the meantime, I went summers to Columbia and Syracuse and Rochester, so that I got my degree from the University of Rochester in 1936. I don't know what there's anything else that you've been interested in.
Well, on your family, I'd like to ask you about your grandfather that was a Civil War veteran.
Yes, both my grandfathers were in the Civil War.
Oh, and their names were?
Samuel Coleman and Henry Hubbard. Henry Hubbard, my mother's father, died when he was 39. And my father's mother, Clara Temple Coleman, died when she was 41. And the two grandparents that were left married each other. The two couples had been friends. So that the grandparents I knew were my mother's mother and my father's father.
It's unusual, isn't it?
And they had one daughter who was half-sister to my father and also to my mother, because my mother and father were stepbrother and sister. Mm-hmm. My grandfather Coleman, the one that I knew, died in March of 1913, the same year that my brother died. And my mother died in January of 1951, and my father in October of 1953. And my sister Alice died in August of 44, and my sister Ethel in December of 1970. So I'm the last one of the immediate family.
Yes. Now, Samuel Coleman was on that Sherman's March to the Sea.
Yes, they were together. Both my grandfathers were together, as I understand.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, they were on the...
Repeat that.
Yes, they belonged to Battery M, 1st New York Light Artillery, 1st Division, 12th Corps, I think it is. Battle of Antietam, Gettysburg, and Georgia, March to the Sea with Sherman.
Yes.
There was something in here that I just discovered today. Maybe I've read it before. This is about the mirror when it was the high school yearbook now. It was a quarterly when they started it.
See, Mirror was a school magazine. Or,
yeah, it was a school paper. School. They called it a paper when they started.
They called it a paper.
Uh-huh. And here it says, the Mirror staff wishes to thank all those who so loyally given their hearty support during the beginning of this new enterprise. Let us hope the school will support the paper just as loyally in the future. And looking over old papers, the following statement was found in the Shelby News, published by the pupils of the Shelby Center School in the winter of 83 and 84. This is the quotation. A man who is stingy enough to borrow a newspaper when he is able to buy one should talk through his nose to save wearing his teeth out.
Yeah.
Think this over. Is it not true, especially of those who are at this time reading a borrowed paper? Do not allow it to be said of you that you're too close-fisted to spend 10 cents to support your school. It must be they charge 10 cents.
Yes.
For Do not allow a school paper published in the Barnegat School. Barnegat is the old name for Shelby Center. Nearly 30 years ago to be able successfully to criticize your attitude. Support the paper in the future.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
I was interested when it said Shelby Center.
Sure.
I'm Barney Gale. Yeah.
Now, you went to Medina High School then and...
I finished Medina High School in 1912.
1912.
And finished Brockport Normal School in 1914.
Mm-hmm.
And then several years later, started going to summer school and working towards my bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make up at least 2 years because I'd only been to Brockport for 2 years.
Yes, that's all that was necessary then to get a teaching.
That's all I had.
To get a teaching certificate.
Yes, for life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how did you get to Brockport? Did you?
I guess probably my folks took me down the train because I went on the train mostly because it had been.
So you would commute?
Yes.
By train?
Yes, every day I went. Which takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty hard.
Right.
Later, my two sisters went to Brockport. They went at the same time, although they were 6 years apart in age. And they stayed with mother's cousin's family and came home weekends. Took food with them. They did basket boarding, they called it.
Basket boarding? Mm-hmm. Is that so?
They took their food and they had the privilege of using the stove. Mm-hmm. So I saved his mother's cousin, one of her favorites.
Mm-hmm. Now the high school when you were there was in the old academy, was it?
It was in this the one that they tore down.
Yes.
I had a choir, I think, in it. Stone.
Mm-hmm. All right. But that was located in the same place where the present
high school. When they went to build the present high school, of course they tore down the three-story academy
mm-hmm.
and moved the high school back over towards Ann Street.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, Ethel, was going to school at the time when this was going on.
Oh.
She finished in 1922.
Yes. Yeah.
And while they were building the new high school, they had, of course, they had torn down the three-story building.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to have more pupils over in the old O'Carter School. And we had a room full of pupils and two teachers in each room.
Oh. Oh, were you teaching then at the old O'Carter School?
Yes, I was teaching at O'Carter.
At that time. Mm-hmm.
I started teaching at O'Carter in the fall of 1920, I think. I taught fifth grade the first year, and then I had a chance to continue with fifth grade or take first. It was what I did first, and I said I'd take the first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed in the first until we moved to the new school in the fall of 55, and I was up there 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who the principal was when you started there at Oak Orchard?
Yes, it was it was Miss Ricketts, Carrie Edith Ricketts. She later was married.
I see.
And then Grace Leader, who now lives in Skinny Atlas, was there. And Mr. Hiller was principal one time. Mr. Rottenberg. And Warren Town came as principal there, I think, in 1930. He was teaching in Medina before that, but I think he became principal of the old O'Carter in 1930. That's the year that he and Beta were married.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught for him for a long time.
Oh, yes. Well, a little bit about Shelby Center, what it was a little like as you remembered in those early years.
Well, there were different mills. There was the grist mill.
That the one that was across the street here?
Yes, up there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the dry house where they dried apples. And I think the Ground Mill Street down, where Chambers located down farther.
Was there a blacksmith shop?
Yes, a blacksmith shop was on what is now Route 63, just after you there. At one time, Mr. Wheat raised cherries, and different ones went there and picked cherries.
I had the, what was his name?
Frank Wheat.
Frank Wheat.
He was the brother of Herbert Wheat, who was a superintendent of Rochester School for a year.
Oh, yes.
And then Irving Wheat, another brother, had the store that Zachers have now. It's at the same location.
Oh. Was there any other store?
Yes, a store where Glenn Neal lives. That was Wormuth's store. His name was Wormuth.
Yeah, and that would have been located where?
Well, where Glenn Neal lives, diagonally from the hotel.
Oh, yes.
Glenn had the store at one time, but of course he doesn't have it anymore. But they lived in the house park.
Was the hotel pretty active in those years?
Too active.
Was it too active, huh? Yeah.
Yes, my parents objected strenuously to that, and my uncle.
Well, I had a saloon in it, did they?
Oh, yeah, that was the main thing.
Yeah, I see.
Yes, that it has been through the years, been the main thing.
Yes.
And just recently it was closed, and we hope it was closed for good, but I understand they're opening it up again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And then you had one school.
Yeah, I never went there to school, but my brother went, and both my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Ethel wasn't getting along too well, and my folks despaired of her making a success of it. So they paid tuition and had her go to the magnet school in the 7th and 8th grade.
Okay. And there was just the one church?
Years ago, before we came here, there was another Baptist church. It was what they call Free Will Baptist, and ours at that time was Close Communion Baptist. Mm. And it wasn't used as a church, as I remember it, when we came here, but the building was there, and at one time Dr. Eckerson's mother, Mary Eckerson, bought it and gave the church the use of it as a hall. We had called it the Ladies' Aid Hall.
Mm.
The Ladies' Aid had use of it, and we had suppers there, programs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But of course that's been gone for a long time now.
Now you mentioned this Dr. Eckerson. How do you spell that?
E-C-K-E-R-S-O-N.
Yes. And Dr. Eckerson, did he live and have an office right here in Shelby
yes,
Center?
Yes, you know where George Grapes lives now.
Yes.
Well, that's where his home was. It was
oh, that's across from the church, about.
Yes, and the school.
Yes, and
the school. It was a brick house, but it burned, so the one that the Grapes live in is not the same one.
I see.
But that's where Dr. Eckerson's wife lived. Mm-hmm. His mother lived in the other part, one part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
His wife died in the spring of 58, and then some years mm-hmm. after that he married Dorothy Weber. And then he died in 1935. I think I made a mistake.
Yes.
She died in 1928.
Yeah, 28.
No,
right.
Afterwards I had made a
mistake. Yes.
He died in 35.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have any recollections of the first time the road out here was paved and changed?
I don't remember too much about that.
I see.
I know that the neighbors or the daughter of the neighbors had their car on our lawn because they couldn't get into their own yard.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were paved.
One kind, and then they put in the cement.
I see.
System.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. I believe you attended that exposition in Buffalo.
Yes. I don't remember much of anything about that.
You were pretty small then.
I was 6 years old. And I,
six, yeah.
I don't remember, but I...
But you were there the day before?
I imagine it was before McKinley was shot, but I don't know when it was. Of course, the exposition was 1901, but I don't know when I went.
I see.
My parents have been several times, I understand. before they took us, and then they took the grandparents and took my brother and me. That was before my sisters were born.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any knowledge at all about this, or any recollections about this Neuter Fort out here just a little west of Shelby Center?
I've never known anything about that, except there used to be a sign up there.
Yes.
You
never heard about it when you were young, especially?
No.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay.
We had a Sunday school picnic up in the woods on Blair Road, and I think the first year we were here.
Oh.
And it was the time of my birthday when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we used to have Sunday school picnics at what they call Elm Park on North Medina.
Oh, yes. I guess that was quite a place in those
days.
Yes,
that was. And you had to go down some stairs to get down there, and they had the stairs. I think they had a little shop where they had candy. I imagine it was penny candy.
Yeah. Huh. I guess you could ride in boats.
Yes, and they had some that went out over the water. You could sort of merry-go-round up there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Riding that. And we used to have watermelons for our picnic, and they put them in the... There was a fountain there with water around it, and they put the watermelon there to keep it cool.
Oh.
I understand that Francis Galton, who later married President Cleveland, used to visit here, probably when the Bents lived here.
Mm-hmm.
See, this house has only been in the two families, the Bent family and the Coleman family. But it was rented when we bought it. People with the name of Linky lived in the house. They were just renting it.
Oh.
But I understand they had lived here for a long time.
I see.
There's the flat section of the roof, and that you can go out on, go up to the. There's a stairway that goes from the second to the third floor, and then some steps. You can go up to the flat part, and they say that people used to sit up there on the flat.
Oh yes.
There's no railing around it. I wouldn't want to be up there.
Right. All right, Miss Coleman. Prior to your moving to this Coleman farm in 1908, you lived where?
Lived on the Allen Bridge Road, and lived very near the Telegraph Road. And there are at present no buildings there at all. There were at least two barns and a house, and they're all gone. Even the trees that were in front of it, we used to have our swings.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a country school up on what's now Route 31 with Telegraph Road, which is now a private residence. I went there from the fall of 1903 until 1907.
You were how old when you started?
I was 8 years old when I started.
Eight.
And I went there for 4 years, and then I passed my preliminary exams, at least I suppose they had, but and went to Albin High School. But then I found the elementary English paper wasn't satisfactory, so I had to try that again in January in Albin. And when I was in Albin, I boarded with our mailman, and Mother could check on I was getting along with the mailman, and was home weekends, of course.
So you'd go from Monday through
Friday,
mm-hmm. and stay right in Albion.
Yes, on West Park Street.
Yes.
A man's name was Fred Butler.
That's the mailman?
Yes.
Red?
Fred.
Fred.
Fred Butler.
Butler. Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were very nice to me. I was just a little girl.
Yes.
I was 12 when I went there.
You got a little homesick?
I don't remember.
Don't remember feeling that way?
No. There was another girl there, an older girl, as I remember. Mm-hmm. Stayed there too.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was more homesick, I think, when I went to summer school there too, something.
Yes.
I never been away
Mount Bridge Road. You came originally from Linenville.
I was born east of Linenville on what is now the Platten Road, I think. And when I was just, I think about it, maybe a year old, we moved to the Murdoch Road where my brother was born. And that was, that place was owned by this Don Milo Weld. And we were there 3 years.
What's that last name?
Weld, W-E-L-D. They used to have a home years ago on West Center Street, near, on the south side of West Center, near where the Wheaton place is. You know,
oh, yes. That would be Corner Van.
Yes, it was near there, it was in that vicinity, yes, oh, yeah. I remember. And we were on that farm, rented that for 3 years, and then moved to this other farm that he had charge of, but would belong to his son. And we were there for 9 years, and then came here.
Well, you were related to a Platten family?
Yes. My grandmother, mother's mother was a Platten. And she had a sister, Mary Ann, who married a man by the name of Ward. And this Evelyn Rumble, Mrs. Frances Rumble, is a granddaughter of that Aunt Mary Ann Ward. Her grandmother and my grandmother were sisters.
I'd like to ask you about the Forestell property over there. Who was there when you
years ago,
first
David
remember?
David Bryan lived there, and his aunt, Mrs. Kirkham, Jane Kirkham. And David Bryan was not married. He was a bachelor. Mrs. Forestell's mother, I think, was a Ryan. And her father was a cousin of my father. So that her grandfather and my grandfather were brothers. And Mrs. George Grapes, Sr., was also a cousin. Her grandfather was another brother of my grandfather's. It was Thomas Coleman, West Shelby. The Colemans are buried at Boxwood.
Oh, they are. None of your relatives in this little cemetery over here in Shelby
well,
Center?
Well, Mrs. Frost's grandfather is buried over there. And so, Mrs. Grape's grandfather is buried at West Shelby. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather is buried at Tanner's. Mm-hmm. And another brother is buried at Boxwood near the Askelson lot. But my great-grandfather and his wife John Coleman was buried up on the hill at Boxwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bents are also buried in Boxwood, right near the south entrance of Boxwood, the Bent.
I see.
The Bent lot.
There we go. I wanted to ask you about various organizations that that you've belonged to over the years, and beginning with your membership in the Shelby Center Baptist Church.
I joined the Baptist Church here in Shelby in October 1911. I was immersed in the Medina Baptist Church because we had no baptistry at that time. My two mm-hmm. sisters, who were younger, were immersed in the stream over, I think it must have been on the Forestell, what is now the Forestell place.
Mm-hmm.
But our church has a baptistry now. Of course, I belong to the Women's Society of our church. I'm secretary and treasurer of it, and I'm treasurer of the Medina Women's Study Club. I'm treasurer of the Daughters of the American Colonists, or Tuxiana chapter.
Mm-hmm. What chapter is that?
Tuxiana, O-T-E-T-I-A-N-I.
Okay. All right. To Brockport, you went to school?
Yeah.
On the trolley sometimes.
But I think we decided that the train was better, I think.
For your hours, it was better.
I don't know just what the reason, but that's what we ended up using the train.
Mm-hmm. They used to have quite a few trains go through, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to go in the morning quite early to east and then come back. You know. I don't know, 6 o'clock or something. Mm-hmm. When my sisters went to Brockport, of course they stayed down during the week. We used to take them down with a Model T Ford.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, a Model T, a small one, 1923 to 25, and then I got until 1930, and then I got Pontiac.
And you learned to drive it yourself, huh?
Yes.
You must have been one of the early women drivers.
1923 when I got my sister and I both learned, and Uphold liked it, but I never cared much about it. Uphold complained to my mother that she wanted to drive. Mother said, well, don't worry about it. She said, Edith won't last long.
Yeah.
As long as that. As Uphold was alive and able to drive, she always drove it. The two of us were together.
I see.
Toward the last, of course, her eyesight wasn't too good, but she was able to drive, and I always sat and used my eyes to tell her things that she needed to know. I've got the stage now where my eyes are troubling me.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you very much,
well, you're welcome.
Edith, for this.
As I say, it's kind of chopping my foot.
Well, it's all right. It's all right. Good to a lot of people.
Well, my grandfather is Coleman Stanley, just by large family. Well, I guess the Hubbard too for that matter.
Yeah.
And they didn't move around the way they do now.
No, no.
Just stay put.
Sure. Yeah, that's. Life has changed quite a bit in that respect.
Yes, young people nowadays get different jobs and they go off to different states.
Yeah, well, there isn't much for them here, you know. And,
well, they go to school different than you used to. When I finished high school, there weren't too many people in Shelby that had finished high school.
Yeah.
It was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, most of them go through the performance at least.
Yes, right.
But my mother wasn't able to go to school. Her father died when she was 11. She and her older sister went to live with other people and did housework.
I see.
But mother was a great reader. She educated herself by reading. Mm-hmm. She wanted her girls to have an education.
Sure.
My sister Ethel was going to be a teacher. I started teaching when I was 19.
Yeah.
And Ethel was only about 12 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was 7 years older than Ethel.
Yeah.
And she wasn't going to be a teacher at all.
Yeah.
Alice came along and finished high school in 27, and she was going to go to Brockport. That was too much for Ethel.
Yes.
She couldn't have the two of us, so she and Alice went at the same time, because Ethel was older, though.
Yeah.
And they used to get about the same marks, so that there was no no hard feelings.
Yeah.
They get a little more than.
Yeah.
But Ethel was the kind that was inclined to specialize in good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. She never liked school as well.
Is that so? Yeah.
But after she got into it, we taught kindergarten, she liked music too.
I see.
And she liked it. Yeah. When she taught the Harding School, just this side of Rochester, before she was married, many years, I think.
Is that so?
She had kindergarten half day, I think mornings and the afternoon, I think she taught 8th grade, I think it was 7th grade.
I see.
A kind of a wide range of.
Yes.
First, she taught in Sunday school and taught the teenagers, like Lowell Neal and Norm Neal.
Really? Yeah.
And they were the ones that started Carol Pride Days. Ethel and Alice started, and Lowell and Norm Neal, and Homer Vale and Virginia Vale, Ruth Jean Colton, who lived next to us there.
I see.
Homer's other Burdette, and some of the. Mm-hmm. Kids, it seemed like kids to me are gone.
Yeah,
almost
some of them are gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's. That happens.
Here's your mirror.